You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:05pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott. Real good Saturday to look forward to as well. We've got the final Group 1 of the season at Doncaster in the shape of the Racing Post Trophy. We've also got racing at Cheltenham on day 2 of the showcase meeting. Good card at Newbury, jumping at Kelso, and evening action from Chelmsford City as well. Plenty to get stuck into. And I'm joined by Ollie Pimlott in the studio to look ahead to the action. How are you all?
Very well, John Boy. It's a pleasure to be back in the studio with you. What a divine right I have.
we've got all of Saturday together as well, or most of Saturday together.
Yeah. You've managed to wingle your way out of that somehow, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I was needed elsewhere, so I'll do the good stuff in the afternoon.
Yeah, then you can leave me and Craig to Chelmsford. It's very kind.
No disrespect to Chelmsford, of course. What a Saturday to look forward to in both codes, and then the all-weather in the evening. There really is one of those Saturdays where you can, whatever you like in racing.
Yeah, we're quite fortunate we get paid to cover it.
Yeah.
It's an absolute belting card, isn't it? Both at Cheltenham and at Doncaster, and probably marks the end of the flat season. And with the first Cheltenham meeting, of course, starting today at time of recording, with the November meeting just on the horizon, we're seeing the big guns release all the top class horses now. So it's the end of the flat as we know it, and on towards the big jumps from cards and meetings.
Yeah. We're going to look at a couple of the races at each of the two main meetings. We're going to look at two from Doncaster and two from Cheltenham. We'll move on to that in just a minute or two. Just a quick flick through the news. All nice touch from Cheltenham to name the National Hunt Chase after JT McNamara this season. I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah, lovely touch that, because JT won it on numerous occasions, the 4-miler at the Cheltenham Festival for Amateurs, of course. And he was a professional in... But an amateur in name alone, really. Unbelievable rider, wasn't he? What a great horseman.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, won the cross-country chase on numerous occasions, on Spot the Difference, and a good way to remember him at the festival.
Yeah, certainly is. Bit of news on the flat as well before we move on. The Last Lion is he's not going to race anymore. He's been retired to stud, bought by Godolphin and retired to stud. It's a bit of a shame we didn't get to see him.
It is a shame. He was a legend, really, wasn't he? Because he was one of the first two-year-olds that Mark Johnson unleashed in the start of the season, and yet he was still winning at the end of the season. But you look at his pedigree, Mark, and you would say...
Probably not going to train on.
Not going to train on, though. Wise decision, you would say, by Godolphin.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And that's the way the stallions are going. We've seen Shalar retired. Obviously, he ran at 3, but he only had a couple of runs. And there's a lot of appetite with owners for early season two-year-olds, and that's the way the stallion business is going. How often are we seeing? I mean, look at Dark Angel. His progeny is making a fortune. He didn't race at 3. And it seems to be more and more the fashion for good young horses, speedy type two-year-olds. Sir Prancelot, another who's had his first crop this year running, didn't run at 3. We're seeing a lot of two-year-olds. Memas, of course, another one this season who's not going to run at 3. You look at the size of him, you think he's never going to train on Enerly, but he's going to retire as a 2-year-old. And it just seems to be the pattern and the fashion at the minute. And a lot of owners are wanting instant success when they buy a horse. They don't want to keep it in training and run it in October as a 2-year-old, then bring it back as a 3-year-old. A lot of it, especially the lower end owners and breeders, they want a bit of instant success, and they want to see the horses running as 2-year-olds.
And that's why the jumps game is better, all, because we get to see them come back every year, pretty much. Anyway, let's move on to some jumps action. We're going to look at two races at Cheltenham first.
Should just mention as well, Moscow Flyer's death.
Yes.
What a legend. Died of colic at the right old age. I think he was 22 at which he died. But horse of a lifetime. You remember the Tingle Creek when he beat Azerty up and Well Chief. What a race that was.
Exactly, yeah.
You remember the... where he unseated Barry Geraghty and came back the year after to regain his crown. That is, for me, Moscow Flyer is what National Hunt Racing is about. He also, I mean, he was winning Grade 1 hurdles before he took to fences when the likes of Istabrak was about. But definitely the highlight for me was that Tingle Creek where he beat Azurtiup and Welchief, because they were the halcyon days of two-mile chasing.
Yeah, real top quality. It's those kind of battles that that's so good about the jumps game. You get the rematch, if you like, which you don't really get on the flat as much. So they come back year in, year out to renew rivalry. It's far better, all. Far better. Let's move on to Saturday's action. We're going to look at two races at Cheltenham first, and then we'll move on to the stuff at Doncaster, and we'll get all these thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, our first race here on this preview is the 3:30 at Cheltenham. We're not going through these in chronological order, so we start with a 3:30 at Cheltenham. This is the Randox Health Handicap Chase. It's a Class 2 event over 2 miles. It's a field of 15 set to go to post here. We do have betting out on site as well. The market headed by Fox Norton, who is 5-1, 6-1 for Casino Markets. Always on the run is 7-1, 9-1 Boon Dooma. Ultra Gold is 10s, 12s for Devil's Bride. 12s also Dunraven Storm and Sizing Platinum, 14s or bigger for the others. You got last year's winner Boon Dooma coming back to have another crack at it all. Only had one run after this race last year, so you'd expect...
I'm keen on Boon Dooma here.
Is that right, yeah?
Yeah, he would be my selection. He's got a good strike rate, but his record fresh is particularly well. I think the last two or three seasons, he's won first time out. Dr. Richard Newlands had an excellent season. He's kept a lot of his horses on the go during the summer. Gets in off 11 stone 7. Devil's Bride, the top weight, is carrying 11 stone 12. So a lot of actually struggling to get in the weights here down at the bottom. So Boon Dooma gets in off a decent enough mark with a weight of 11 stone 7. Won this race last year, admittedly, off £5 lower 12 months ago. But that record fresh is the one that really brings me to this race. He's clearly had this in mind since he was injured back in November. We've not seen him. When he was pulled up under William Kennedy, a race won by Anacotti. But if you look at the last few seasons, Mark, he's got an excellent record fresh. He won at Chepstow back in 2014, his first run of the season. Of course, he won this race back in 2015, his first run of the season. Yep. Clearly, he's had injury issues. Clearly, he's got a mark £5 higher than what he won off last season. But this race has got to have been the target. Dr. Richard Newlands is in tremendous form. And at the weights, I think he gets in okay off 11 stone 7. So he's got to be the starting point at around about 9-1. Should mention the favourite here, Fox Norton. Another one who's got an excellent record at Cheltenham, but has been well found in the market. And he sets a good standard, doesn't he, Fox Norton? Because you look at his record last season, he won 3 times. He was 3rd in Arkle and 3rd in a Grade 1 at Aintree in the spring. So, you know, he sets a real good standard.
That's good
but
form, yeah.
He's taking on experienced campaigners now. Neil Mulholland is another trainer who has his team in excellent form. But my worry is he's stepping up from novice company to serious handicap company here. And that little bit of a lack of experience, you know, with 15, 14 other runners around him might get him caught out first time. I don't think he'll be lacking for fitness.
Okay.
But it just could be a bit of experience in these hardened handicaps which sees him caught out. But he sets an excellent standard. He is the favourite, Fox Norton. But for me, last year's winner, Boon Dooma, off a £5 higher mark. He's won his last 2 seasons first time out, and I think he can make it a 3rd this year, Mark.
Yeah, good stuff. I might be slightly wrong here, but despite being on a higher mark this time around, because of the way the weights are framed, he's actually carrying a pound lower in the race, which is interesting to look at.
As I say, because Devil's Bride
is
keeping them all pretty much knocking a lot of these out of the handicap off a mark of 157. He's well in at the weights, effectively. And just the fact that he won the race last year, he'd won the season before first time out, admittedly off a mark in the mid-120s, but he's a horse going places. Rule out the pull-up at Cheltenham in November last year where he was reported to be injured. Stable in good form, good jockey booking in Brendan Powell. A lot of ticks in the right boxes, but you've got 14 other horses who presumably that's been their target as well. So very competitive handicap, as you'd expect at Cheltenham, but Boon Dooma just the one for me.
Okay, currently 9-1 in the market at the time of recording this. The 405 at Cheltenham is where we go next. This is a Potemps Network handicap hurdle. It's over, just short of 3 miles, a Class 2 event with 14 runners Set to go to post. Top of the Town is the 6-1 favourite. 7-1 for Estial. Golden Doyen is 7s. 8-1 for Zari. But for good measure is 8-1. 10-1 Tagliatelle. 10-1 also Call the Cops and Western Warrior. It's 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Pretty strong Irish challenge in this race, all.
Yeah, a lot of Irish runners. Of course, we've got Gordon Elliott with Tagliatelle. He also has another runner, Gordon, in the form of Estihal. So he's double-handed in the race. Top of the Town, any Charles Burns raider has to be taken good measure at, especially in the markets. So a number of Irish runners in the race, and they set a good standard. I'm not going to plump for an Irish runner, though, Mark. I'm going to go for an Irish-owned horse in Call the Cops. Landed the attempt final at the 2015 festival. Only ran twice last season, however, and was desperately disappointed in finishing 8th and nowhere. But this is a really smart animal, Call the Cops. He, of course, finished 2nd behind Tagliatelle. That was in a handicap hurdle grade 3 at Aintree, the season of his attempts win. And you just look at his 2 runs last season, he took a bit of time to come to hand. They only ran him in February, where he was well beaten behind Cup Final. That was in the attempts qualifier. Then he went to the Coral Cup and was desperately disappointed, only finished 17 of 26 behind Diamond King. They've given him a nice summer to get back on track. They reported Nicky Henderson to have had a clean bill of health with him, a clean run to this race. And off a mark of 1-5-1, a thoroughly competitive race, I think he could go well.
Okay. Yeah, season disrupted last time. You get the feeling with him coming out so early that they've had a
Nicky Henderson has reported he's had much smoother progress, and he's got the back class. It's just whether that ability remains questionable on his 2 starts last season, but they had very much a disrupted campaign to get there. So another devilishly tricky race where you could give a chance to most of the 14 runners, Mark, but Call the Cops will be the selection for me.
All right, moving up to Doncaster for a couple of races there. Then the 205 is the first race on their card that we look at. This is the Doncaster Stakes, a listed race over 6 furlongs. It's for the 2-year-olds. We've got a field of 11 at the time of recording this. Several, you'd give good chances to the likes of Cafu Shumemi for Richard Hannan, who has a good, well, the Hannans have a good record in the race in the past. But I was kind of influenced by seeing Comedy School at York last time, won a big field nursery there in pretty devastating fashion.
Yeah, he and Mark Johnson's got a dreadful record at York, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That makes it even better, doesn't it?
Which makes that run by Comedy School, the filly by Distorted Humour, even better. Absolutely laughed in the handicapper's face, didn't she? On that occasion, been forced to run in listed company, and sets a decent standard, does Comedy School. But a number of these come in with little or no form to go, and they've only had the couple of runs. I'm actually going to take a chance. I presume this will be a big price in the form of Hilario, Mark. This runs in the Derby-winning colours of Salah Al-Hamazi and Imad Al-Sagar. Of course, won the Derby with Authorised when Frankie Dettori was on board. This is a colt by Sapoy. Now, Sapoy is an Australian stallion. First 2-year-olds are on the ground this season, and a lot of them are tending to appreciate the step-up in trip. Just today at Doncaster, we've had a Sapoy who appreciated the step-up in trip. And they tend to be flourishing in the back end of the season, which is bizarre, given a lot of the pedigrees are fairly sharp and you'd expect them to be really quick 2-year-olds. So, Hilario didn't show a great deal on debut, but was very well backed at Kempton. Has had 12 weeks off. Andrea Razzini's got an unbelievable record at Doncaster. We'll talk about the Racing Post Trophy a little bit later. Bitter a 4th win in that, of course, but had a tremendous St. Ledger meeting. I think it was 8 winners he finished the St. Ledger meeting with. For some reason, it's just a track he rides incredibly well.
And he loves it on Downmore.
Yeah, and he's got tremendous luck there. So the top weight, the top horse, horse number 1, Hilario, for Charles Hills. Horses are in excellent order, and for a jockey who, for some unbeknown reason, just excels at Doncaster and has tremendous luck there. So it will be a price, I'd have thought. Hilario didn't show a great deal on debut, but was a striking winner at Kempton 12 weeks ago. But a bit of time off the track, and I think some of these could be coming to the end of their tether at this time of the season. I'm just going to go for the unexposed one for a jockey who loves the track. Hilario for me.
Onto the big race at Doncaster next then, the 350, the Racing Post Trophy, final Group 1 of the season. It's for the two-year-olds over a mile. The market is headed by Yucatan, who is 4-5 favourite, has been anti-post favourite since the news that Capri wouldn't run. Rivet is 5-1, 15-2 for Sir Dancelot, 10-1 for Salouen, 14s Contrapposto, 14s also for the Anvil, 16-1 Raheen House, and 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. You've alluded to Andrea Zini. We'll let you make the point of that. But Yucatan, we'll start with that one all. Dominating the betting, Ryan Moore riding for Aidan O'Brien. And given the fact that he finished second to Capri and then they've decided not to go with Capri, reports very positive about Yucatan as well.
Has been very, very well backed throughout the week. The lads, in inverted commas, have put their money down, haven't they? Because when Capri came out, of course, Capri beat Yucatan in the Beresford Stakes. That was back on the 25th of September, so we've had the best part of a month off since. This has clearly been its target. It's been smashed off the boards by the lads and sets a very good standard. Taj Mahal, who's been very disappointing for a horse with his breeding. The form of that win in the maiden has been frank since. Taj Mahal won a nursery, admittedly, last time at Dundalk. So, you know, it was 7-11 on debut to Utah, but you know, it was a massive price on that. Aidan O'Brien's always improved, and he improved markedly to win that maiden and then was second in the Beresford to a horse in Capri, who is very, very highly touted. So certainly sets the standard, Mark Yucatan, but odds on 4-5 in a race which threw up a 33-1 winner in the form of last year's winner, Marcel. I'm going to go for the aforementioned Andrea Atzani's Rivets here. Quite unbelievable that he bids for a fourth win in a row in the race, Andrea Rizzini. Marcel,
remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, wasn't expected. But prior to that, he won on Elm Park and Kingston Hill. And rather remarkably as well, Aidan O'Brien in the last three runnings has had the second behind Andrea Rizzini. Could it be 4 years in a row? Atzani has reported that Rivet didn't handle the undulations at Newmarket last time. That was in the Dewhurst when only finishing fifth of seven behind another O'Brien hot pot in the form of Churchill. Unofficial ratings here is £2 higher than Yucatan. Yucatan has a mark of 112, Rivet a mark of 113, but he is a course winner, won the Champagne Stakes. That was a Group 2 here at Doncaster. Rivet in the on his penultimate start, and of course won the Convivial Maiden, which has worked out exceptionally well. Always a good maiden that at York's Ebor meeting. So Rivet, at the prices around about 5-1, I think is excellent each-way value against the short price favourite, Yucatan.
Okay, taking on the hot pot then, Rivet, the selection for all in the Racing Post Trophy. Just a quick mention as well, if you go to the William Hill website, click on Future Races, there's a market for a horse to win the Racing Post Trophy and then go on to win the Derby. Yucatan heads that market at 20-1. Rivet all is 80-1 if I could interest you with that, 200-1 Contrapposto and the Anvil, and 250-1 or bigger prices for the others. Should Rivet or Yucatan win the Racing Post Trophy, you won't get 20s or 80s for them for the Derby.
You won't, but I'd probably rather back Yucatan at that sort of price.
Yeah.
20-1. I don't think Rivet's a Derby horse, if I'm honest. You'd like to think there'll be some better horses coming out, if not the beginning of next season. Certainly O'Brien wouldn't have unleashed them yet. Need to mention the Anvil as well, because, you know, he's still a maiden, this horse, had the four starts, but they, you know, it's rather surprisingly, on its penultimate start, put him into the Royal Lodge Stakes, where completely outran his price of 25-1 to finish second behind Best of Days, but was disappointing behind Best Solution in the Group 3 last time. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him run a decent race, but Rivet the one for me.
Okay. Gustav Hall, thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. My thoughts to Wally Pimlott. He'll be in the studio with myself and Craig Forsyth. We've got all this good racing to look forward to. Racing Post Trophy Day at Doncaster. Good card at Cheltenham and Newbury. Jumping as well at Kelso and all other action at Chelmsford City. Plenty to look forward to. It starts at 1:05 on Racing Radio, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.